The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, and joined alongside my co-host once again, Evan Davis. And the World Series has not disappointed so far. Two games in and both games have been electric, coming down to the last out with the bases loaded in each game. In Game 1, Freddie Freeman hit the biggest home run of his storied career with a walk-off grand slam off of Nestor Cortez. And in Game 2, Alex Vesia got Jose Trevino to fly out with the bases loaded in the ninth for the Yankees. All this leading to a 2-0 lead to the Dodgers, heading to New York for Games 3, 4, and 5. There are many things to discuss about this World Series, such as Aaron Judge's struggles, Ohtani's injury, and much more. So, Evan, I'll ask you, how did you feel about Game 1?
What a game that was. You talk about the Dodgers coming back down twice on, or coming back on down two separate occasions. Mookie Betts with the sack fly to bring home Ohtani after the double that turned into a triple, or that got Ohtani to third on the error. And then you see what happens when you intentionally walk a Dodger. It usually doesn't bode well for your squad, but I just want people to understand how ridiculous Freddie Freeman is with the bases loaded against left-handed pitching the last two seasons. He has four grand slams in like nine at-bats against left-handed pitching, and he also has now 24 RBIs. It's just, Yankee fans rightfully so were like, where was Tim Hill? Because why was Nestor Cortez, in that spot? It didn't make sense. And also for Cortez, like if you look at the box as to where Freeman likes to hit fastballs against lefties, I mean, Cortez could not have put it in a better spot for Freddie Freeman. And I don't get why. Like, obviously you get Ohtani out with the fastball, Cortez does. Ohtani missed that pitch, but Freddie Freeman was obviously watching that at bat, and to go back on a fastball and get greedy, I think was a horrible call by Austin Wells. And sure enough, they paid for it.
Yeah, just watching that whole series or that whole sequence where he gets Ohtani to fly out, Verdugo goes in crashing into the stands, pretty much moves the runner ahead, and that leads Betts to walk with the bases loaded, or walk. Walk the bases loaded, setting up Freddie.
Yeah, you could continue. One second, I wanted to correct myself. Freddie Freeman versus lefties with the bases loaded the last two seasons is 9 of 14 with four home runs, 25 RBIs, and a .643 batting average. You can continue.
Yeah, he's been insane. But yeah, you just look at it, and I was watching it and seeing just, you're right. Ohtani missed that pitch, that fastball, and then Nestor thought he could double up on it, where hitters are smart and they see at bats before they even happen. Like, he's watching on the top step of the dugout before he goes into the batter's box, before he goes into the on deck circle. He's watching that from the top step of the dugout and saying, okay, he's leaving it there. If he's leaving it there for Ohtani, it's probably a high chance he's leaving it there for me. And just another, like you said, it was a bad decision by Aaron Boone. I know Nestor Cortez has been big for you all year, but he hasn't pitched in 37 days. You have Tim Hill available. Even Tim Mayza is available, like, at that point.
Like, is he on the roster? I don't even know.
He should be on the roster instead of Nestor Cortez at this point. Like, I don't think bringing somebody in from an injury where they almost missed 40 days of pitching, and then throwing him into the World Series, and it's such a high leverage situation, I don't think makes sense. I know he's a lefty, but yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like to your point, oh, you know what? Tim Mayza is on the roster, so that would have actually been another lefty you could have thrown. I saw yesterday on MLB Network, Mark DeRosa, who I think is one of the best analysts out there, was doing a split of, Nestor Cortez's first at-bats against lefties versus Tim Hill's first at-bat against lefties. And the discrepancy is huge, where Nestor Cortez opponents are batting under 100 versus Cortez on that first plate appearance, whereas with Tim Hill, it's about 273. So I'm sure Aaron Boone and his staff was looking at that saying, hey, look, this is why we want to go with Cortez. This is why I think analytics sometimes gets in the way too much of baseball, where, I just don't see why you would still think Cortez is a good option. And then for Aaron Boone to come out in the press conference and say, oh, yeah, well, Cortez has looked good in his throwing simulations. It's like, that's not the bases loaded in the World Series. Like, that's just casually throwing at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, like I really don't get that situation to say, well, bullpen he's looked good. Brother hasn't pitched since September 19th. It's been over a month. Like, it's been an insane amount of time. He's been out with an injury. It's not like he was just left off the roster like Marcus Stroman was, where he's still pitching every day since then, pretty much. But no, this is World Series, bottom of the 10th, bases loaded. Or the bases weren't loaded when he came out. It was just to face Ohtani at first. But still, like, there's no way this is the decision that goes into it where, yeah, bring in the guy who hasn't pitched in over a month.
Well, yeah, and now you put him in, they put him in a position to fail, and you just wonder how that affects with his mentals going down the rest of the series, because now the Yankees are down 2-0, and if they win that game, it's a whole different conversation. But you look at the starting pitching in that game, and what Derek Jeter and Rodriguez and all those guys said on the Fox panel, as well as just MLB analysts in general, was just you had to win the Gerrit Cole starts. Like, you had to win those. And to his credit, he did a phenomenal job in game one. 6 innings, was responsible for Teoscar Hernandez. Obviously, he didn't come around to score. One earned run, 4 hits allowed, 4 strikeouts. You could make an argument that he shouldn't have even allowed a run if Juan Soto actually put a good run on that ball instead of just running straight to it, at least trying to cut it off on an angle. But the caveat to get needing to win the Gerrit Cole game is that you kind of need the Dodgers starters to lay an egg, and Jack Flaherty did not lay an egg. He made one mistake pitch on a breaking ball inside to Stanton that is still probably landing just on how high that ball went. But Flaherty's knuckle curve was the huge difference, and the Yankees couldn't hit it. And I don't know if we want to bring this up, but the home plate umpire in game one was just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, his strike zone was all over the place. We also talk about it where the Dodgers need base. You talk about how the Yankees needed to win the Gerrit Cole start. The Dodgers needed to win basically both of the games with Flaherty and Yamamoto starting because now you're going into New York and you have Walker Buehler lined up for game three and possibly a bullpen game lined up for game four. Those could both potentially be losses. I know Walker Buehler's been a lot better in the postseason so far, but his stuff still is iffy. It's not as solid and not as consistent as Flaherty and Yamamoto's have been. And then obviously the bullpen games have worked so far for the Dodgers, but we talked about it before where you can't really always rely on that. It's not always a 100% guaranteed thing to work. I know the Dodgers bullpen is really, really good. Rivals even the Guardians bullpen and the Padres bullpen at this point, but like, there's only so much you can do, especially with even somebody like Evan Phillips being left out the roster, but Brusdar Gratterall and Alex Vesia coming back. It's still a big thing for the Dodgers that they needed to win both of those games because you're not as certain with a Walker Buehler start or a bullpen game.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I just saw MLB posting this that teams up 2-0 in the last two New York LA World Series meetings have eventually lost the series. Now, look, that was 40 years ago. So, what was it also that whoever won whoever beats the Brewers goes to the World Series that ended up getting canned when the Mets lost to the Dodgers? And unless Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, and Mariano Rivera are coming out for the Yankees, or if I see Reggie Jackson all of a sudden pull up tomorrow night, I really don't care about these statistics. But yeah, to your point about Walker Buehler, He's looked really good since that second inning blunder. And you can make an argument that he's looked good this entire postseason, because if it wasn't for defensive miscues and just the luck of the Padres getting these infield hits where the Dodgers were playing the shift and then they just found that one hole, outside of that unlucky second inning, Bueller's looked really good. And, obviously he got out of that bases loaded jam against the Mets. The six strikeouts in 4 innings. The only thing that concerns me with Bueller is that the swing and miss stuff just still isn't there yet. Like, he doesn't have that one wipeout pitch. That could also just be that the Mets did a great job of fouling off pitches, which they did do. But if that, what is really going to be telling with Walker Bueller, especially in game three, is that curveball and slider sweeper working? Because if that's working, the fastball becomes unhittable.
Yeah, and we've seen it before in the other starts that Bueller has had. He has had some of his strikeout stuff that he didn't have in the regular season. And that's really important for him to get batters out. Like, the most recent start against the Mets, where he had six strikeouts in 4 innings, like, that was a really big start for him. But then obviously we talk about the Padres start, where he had no strikeouts in 5 innings and gave up all the hits and runs there, the 6 runs there. But that it's such a big start for the Dodgers tomorrow night, having Walker Bueller go up. Who's pitching for the Dodgers? Is it what's it called? Clark
You mean
Schmidt?
the Yankees?
Or for the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it Clark Schmidt
Yeah,
tomorrow?
it's gonna be Clark Schmidt tomorrow, but yeah, it's not like Clark Schmidt didn't have his best stuff against Cleveland, but who did have his good stuff was Yoshi, who the Yankees didn't want to pay.
Yeah. What an outing for him yesterday. What a perfect outing. And he only left one mistake pitch the whole night, pretty much. And it was that one that Juan Soto sent to Jupiter. But it was such an important outing for him. 6 1/3 innings, only one run. Like I said, only one hit, and it was that one mistake. Like, what a great outing for Yamamoto in game two last night.
Yeah, and you could even see like the home run that he gave up to Soto. You look at Will Smith's glove was on the outer, like was meant for a pitch outside, and Yamamoto missed it and threw it inside. And that's the one thing with Soto is like you can't throw the inside fastball because he could just turn on a pitch, and that's exactly, what he did. But Yamamoto looked really good. The four strikeouts, I think he retired 11 in a row after giving up the Soto home run. And that's really just what won the Dodgers the game. And I just, for someone that's 26 years old, you look at like obviously his first postseason start against the Padres, it wasn't pretty. Obviously giving up the 5 runs in what was it, 3 innings, and the Padres just continue to have his number. But you look at since that game and that since that first postseason start, 15 2/3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, 14 strikeouts. That's what you need out of a $325 million pitcher.
Yeah, someone who's willing to go out there and, get batters out. Like you said, the 15 2/3 inning, the 3 earned runs, a 1.72 ERA in the last three postseason starts against really good teams, where you have the Padres, the Mets, and now the Yankees. Like, three really important situations in game five and game four, and really game two at this point in the World Series, where it's such an important game, like I said. But yeah, like, I want to get your thoughts on, after the Shohei Ohtani got picked off, or not picked off, got caught stealing and his injury, what was going through your mind when you saw he's down on the ground, and even the base camp or the base mic picked up him speaking in Japanese, saying, "Did you feel your shoulder pop?" And then he said, "Yeah, I think I felt it pop." Like, obviously we don't speak Japanese, and I had to wait for somebody on Twitter to translate it. But what was going through your mind, like, that whole situation there?
Well, what was going through my mind, and look, I'm not a doctor, clearly, but what was going through my mind was that he popped his shoulder. Like, that was my first initial thought, was that his shoulder popped because he's a big dude. Like, he came down on that left shoulder with so much force, and You could tell like instantly that his shoulder was popped. And the reason why you could tell is that the way that they're holding his arm as he's walking off the field, like that tells me that it was dislocated, popped shoulder, whatever the case may be. The report coming after was that it was a subluxation. I don't know how the heck you pronounce it, but it basically in layman's terms means that it's a partial it's a partial dislocation. I just think the one positive sign is the fact that the arm movement was good and the arm strength was good, because if it was fully dislocated, and obviously then they would have diagnosed it as that, like that arm is, it's shot. Like you can't move that thing whatsoever. The fact that he, left with the team, no sling, like no brace or anything on that arm, tells me that with treatment and medication, he can be okay. And I mean, let's be honest here, a 70% Shohei Ohtani is still better than, a good chunk of the league. But initially, what I thought was pop shoulder or dislocated just because of how hard he came down while sliding. But I think a part of me still thinks he plays game three, because it's not like he's in the field, like he doesn't need to worry about throwing. And it's also
His
his
left
left
shoulder.
arm, it's his left shoulder, so it's not his power swing. Like you need the right arm to be intact.
And that was a really important thing too, being his off arm pretty much. Where like thank God he's not a right-handed hitter, where that would be a big issue, where that's your stroke arm, like pretty much to get out of the power stroke. But like we said, with Ohtani, such a lucky moment for him not to have actually fully dislocated it, even though I'm sure the pain in that moment felt like he probably did, because he said, "I felt a pop, like it hurts." But what a huge, relief to not have any serious injury there, because it would just be bad for the sport having Ohtani go down, especially in the biggest moment in the World Series. But you talk about that game one double that got turned into that advanced him to third on the error. That's probably the biggest part of the game, where if Gleyber Torres fields that ball perfectly, the Dodgers probably lose that game still, because if Ohtani doesn't move to third, that Mookie Betts sac fly doesn't score him, and the Dodgers didn't do anything the rest of that inning. What an important situation that was for Ohtani just to read that, or for Gleyber not to field that properly, and Ohtani being able to move to third.
Well, first of all, obviously big for the Dodgers that, it's not dislocated, that or that it's not torn. Like it, no, because the one thing I was saying to my dad was like, for God's sakes, like please don't have a ligament be damaged, because then that means he's done for, the rest of the postseason, obviously. But then it also just delays his rehab still from pitching. I believe we talked about at the beginning of the series, before it started, just the base running errors and just errors in general by the Yankees. They were able to get away with it against the Guardians because the Guardians returned the favor at times, but you're not going to get away with it against the Dodgers. And the Gleyber Torres play, like, I mean, I'm happy from as a Dodgers fan, but like, what are you doing? Like, why isn't your body in front of that baseball? And credit to the Dodgers dugout for telling Ohtani, like, you got to run to third, like, put on the Jets. Does Mookie Betts still drive him in if Ohtani's on second? We'll leave that up for debate, because your mindset in that at bat changes, where Mookie Betts was just trying to get anything in the air and in the outfield because of the runner on third. He might take an a dip, he might take a different approach to the plate if Ohtani's on second. He might have laid off that changeup from Luke Weaver that he eventually got to Judge, but you never know. But yeah, the miscues from the Yankees and just not capitalizing. They're 2 for 14 with runners in scoring position as well, in these two games, and just the miscues and not capitalizing. We're talking about two swings and maybe it's 2-0 Yankees.
Yeah, like we talk about also 2-0 Yankees. Another big factor for that is Aaron Judge has been
Oh.
atrocious so far in the World Series. Yesterday, 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, and even game one, 3 strikeouts as well. He's just lost at the plate right now. And we talk about it where the Dodgers walked Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge because Aaron Judge at this point, he's not scaring anybody anymore. And it's kind of odd to see where Giancarlo is more feared in that lineup. And I talked about it before. We're saying it's kind of like they switched like Space Jam or Thunderstruck, where they've switched abilities where Giancarlo was that guy now where it's like we don't want to pitch to him. And obviously Juan Soto is still really goddamn good, where he's good at hitting anything pretty much, and he always takes his walk. But Judge right now is just, I don't know if it's nerves, I don't know if it's just he's even blocking Yankees fans on Twitter, where a lot of Yankees fans are just like, Judge, you got to step it up, man. They're like, how did I get blocked by Aaron Judge? I didn't even say something that bad. Like, there's something going on mentally with Aaron Judge right now, and it's really affecting his game.
Yeah, I think what is really telling, and Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter brought it up on the broadcast, but you could also just see it during, or they brought it up in the post game, but you could see it during the game. I think it was Judge's first at bat, or no, I'm sorry, it was that last at bat that he had against Yamamoto when he struck out to end the sixth. Was it to end the sixth inning? Yeah. He's up 2-0 in the count. And Yamamoto just he has to throw a strike just because you don't want to go down 3-0 to Judge because then you're screwed. But he throws a fastball right down the middle and Judge doesn't even move. Like, that's what's crazy to me is that it's Aaron Judge. He gets a meatball down the middle of the plate. It wasn't even that high velocity. Yamamoto's fastball tick was definitely down from 98 in the first to 94 in the sixth, which isn't like cause for concern. But a fastball right down the middle that Judge doesn't even look at. Like, that's what's crazy to me. Like, it's Aaron freaking Judge. And obviously, 1-for-9 this postseason, 5 straight games with multi strikeouts. But Judge has been like this the entire postseason. He's batting 150 on the year. And at what point does Aaron Boone, move him down in the lineup? Like, obviously, it's Aaron freaking Judge. And I don't want to like compare the two together, but Will Smith had been struggling at the plate immensely, and he was batting in like that five spot. They move him down to the eight hole, and now he's hitting home runs, he's hitting doubles, he's doing a lot better in that role. I'm not saying the Yankees are going to move Judge to eighth, but why not move him to fifth?
Yeah, and I think that's a real cause for concern for Aaron Boone. I think Giancarlo has to move up, and I think Jazz Chisholm's given them really important hits. They have to do something to this lineup where you gotta either start a fire under Aaron Judge and say you're hitting fifth today, or you're hitting like I don't even think hitting cleanup would do that much of a difference for Judge's mental at this point because Giancarlo has been such a hot bat. But they just need to find a new way to get something going with Aaron Judge. And I know as a Dodgers fan, you don't want that. But it's just been really cause for concern for Aaron Boone. Like we talk about it. This guy hits like 60 home runs in the regular season, but he falls apart when it comes to the most important part of the season, where against the Guardians, he wasn't really doing that much. He had what, like one or two home runs in that series, but the rest of the series, he wasn't really hitting for anything and striking out a lot. And he's continuing this stretch of just bad play going into the World Series now. Anyways, I think that'll just about do it for this episode of Breaking News Bears. I once again want to thank my co-host Evan Davis, and I once again want to thank you guys, the listeners. Thank you for listening again to another episode of Breaking News Bears.